evil thought on one another with a view to arousing one another to brotherly love and right conduct. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it is your own selves you must test to discover whether you are true believers. Examine yourselves. Very good scriptures to keep in mind during the consideration of our subject. I'm sure that as we look upon this convention of the Lord's people, we can all realize that there has been a substantial amount of dollars, relatively speaking, that have been spent, and much consecrated time is represented in the arrangement and attendance of this convention. So we thought we might like to examine some of the ways in which we can make our attendance here more beneficial to us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Communing with the Lord is a most precious activity. And this convention is one of the means provided whereby we can communicate with Him. And communicating with the Lord involves two things, amongst others, our talking to Him and our listening to Him. And particularly we want to consider this convention of the Lord's people from the standpoint of listening to the Lord's voice. Contemplate for a moment that this gathering is an opportunity in searching the Scriptures to know the divine mind as it appertains to us as individuals and as members of the true church. Included in this matter of listening to the Lord's voice, we should reckon the help that is provided by the Lord through the brethren, the members of the body of Christ. We should recognize the statement of the apostle in 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleaseth Him." This is God's arrangement. Do we also realize that God has set these members for the very purpose of blessing one another? Yes, for the edification of the church and building it up in the most holy faith. It is true, I'm sure we all appreciate that we are to consider that the apostles were set in the body first. And hence their teachings are prime or paramount. And that all the other teachings are to be submitted to the test of harmony with the testimonies of the apostles and the prophets. If we are listening to the voice of the Lord, our knowledge of our Master will be increased. And help let me so. Paul in Philippians 3:8 states, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord." What a thought. Yeah, Paul wasn't merely thinking of future glories, which were worth every bit of the cost in his time and efforts, but that even the knowledge of Christ was alone worth the price. He contemplated that the loss of all things in order to obtain this knowledge and its opportunities would be a great bargain. And I know we all like a bargain. That's evidenced by the fact that I sometimes go shopping and looking for the best bargains, greatest value for the outlay. So Paul realized this, and I'm sure we do too. We want to get as much as we can for the efforts that we put forth. And let us thank God for the privileges this convention will afford us to increase our knowledge of God and Christ, a knowledge particularly of their character, and which will instill in us a deeper appreciation of it, and a furthering of our knowledge of the divine plan. In these 3 days of meeting together as the Lord's people, this should be one of our motives. That is to say, we should be listening to the voice of the Lord to increase our knowledge of Him and His purposes. We might add that this applies equally well to the speakers and the hearers. In Malachi 3:16, we read, this verse is familiar to all of us, but we love to repeat it because repetition increases our perception of it. Malachi 3:16 reads, "They that reverence the Lord spake often one to another." Ah, yes. What could be more natural than having a desire for communion with all who are of like precious faith? Don't you ever sometimes get eager after a dry spell to get with the Lord's people and talk about the faith, which just burns like a fire in your bones? It should get hold of us. We should want to desire to get together and speak often one to another. Yes, all who are similarly in the hands of the potter undergoing hopefully the molding into a vessel of honor, 2 Timothy 2:21, will really desire to do this. This is just a thing that we should have as a conditioned response. It should come to us, as we might say, a natural thing to want to do this. We shouldn't have to ponder it, but it should be instantaneous. It is to this end, when we get together, that our Lord has made some of His promises to His people, saying in Matthew 18:20, "Where two or three of you are met in My name, there am I in the midst." I'm sure we all appreciate that the Lord is in our midst at the present time. This meeting is one in which we should be anxious for fellowship with each other. Yes. Are we anxious for fellowship? When we speak together, we naturally inquire what the topic of conversation is. What do we talk about? The Apostle points out in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 that it should be about heavenly things. These things should be uppermost in our hearts. After all, are we not seeking first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, as per Luke chapter 6, verse 33? And in this connection, we might add that we shouldn't overlook the fact that the Lord hearkens and hears us. He's listening too. How often would we be blessed as we meet together to talk over the divine plan, divine goodness, divine wisdom, divine love, justice, and power, and help one another and to encourage one another as is brought to our attention in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes, let us remember that the Lord listens to see, as we are told in Matthew 12:35, who out of good hearts speak forth those things which are loving, gentle, good, true, as contrasted from those who might be a little careless and whose words are vain or frivolous. Yes, sometimes they might even be slanderous. Even amongst those who are showing forth the praises of the Lord, as the psalmist states in Psalm 79:13, and are endeavoring to build one another up in the most holy faith, we may be sure that our Lord hearkens to such who are co-workers and takes knowledge of the purity of their motives as well as of their words. Motivation is extremely important. He observes whether they are seeking to glorify themselves or to glorify God in their use of such privileges and opportunities. Any who take to themselves the honor which belongs to the Lord is showing himself disloyal. Disloyal to the Master. Let us all remember the importance of honesty. We were talking about this morning at the breakfast table. Honesty of truth in the inward parts, in the heart. As the Apostle admonishes us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That's a good lesson in humility, isn't it? How often have we said, well, brother, I wish that I could emulate you in your emulation of the Lord. Just as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let us seek to see in the next 3 days, so far as possible, in each other, the good, the noble, the true, the reflections of the character of our Lord. Let us look at one another as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are all in various stages of accomplishing likeness to our Lord and Master. So let us see in each other the development of these traits. And let us each seek to watch his own heart, the seed of affection. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the natural affections, or the heart, as the prophet tells us, is deceitful above all things. Yes, these natural affections can cause us some problems. And none of us is so strong in the new nature that we can disregard this coming together for our fellowship and to be assisted by each other in the development of our minds and our hearts. And we should be anxious, as is stated in Hebrews 10:25, to do this more and more as the day draws near. We want to get together more and more as opportunity presents itself. And there will be a greater need respecting the fellowship and communion of the Lord's people with each other. It's just like having fewer and fewer or greater and greater concentration in one place. And we need to keep the disturbances from without. So we've got to get together. And we, as the day draws nigh for our change and for the consummation of the church, we should more and more appreciate this fact. Our experience proves this to be so, does it not? It should. Today we have great pressures of business activity, a rush to keep up with the times, a rush to keep up with the Joneses, as the expression goes, and many other pressures. And with these come the correspondingly greater danger to the Lord's people. We can have the danger of being choked with the cares of this life, or the seeking of wealth, whatever it might be. This convention and other like gatherings of the Lord's people should serve as a counterbalancing influence, which would offset the increasing pressures of the world and its affairs that it has upon us. During the course of this meeting, let us be exhorting and encouraging one another to steadfastness along the lines of instruction of the Word of the Lord. And conventions afford the child of God a wonderful opportunity to seek out the rewards of faith. And nearly all that God has given us as new creatures is by faith. Think of the things that you possess in the Spirit, and you possess them by faith. And we are exhorted by the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, as recorded in 1 Timothy 4:12, to be an example of the believers in the faith. Yes, we want to be examples not only of the believers, but to the believers. And how is our Christian faith manifested? It's manifested in our conduct, in our words, in the course of our lives. If the Christian is full of faith, he will not be murmuring concerning the experience of life or against the providences of the Lord. You know, God has accepted us as His children. We are the children of the Most High God, and we should have implicit confidence in Him, and whoever has the true faith has this confidence. Can you bring forth this confidence when you're in a time of stress? It is one of our privileges. If any of us lack faith in God, we shall not manifest faith to others, nor will we inspire it in others. So, dear friends, it is important at this convention that each and every one manifest and inspire faith in the other. Are we doing this? If the faith of any of God's children needs reinforcement, perhaps you or I may be the one that the Lord will use in supplying the necessary help. Think of it. You may be a tool and a co-worker, a tool in the hands of the Lord and His co-worker. If the message of the Lord has filled our hearts and blessed our lives, we should rejoice to carry it to others who may be in need of it. And we don't have to look too far. We ourselves find the need. Yes, indeed. If our hearts are fruitful, they'll surely bring forth fruitage to the glory of our God. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit that is within us. The Lord gave us a firm foundation for our faith. Yes, indeed, it is a faith which He Himself has inspired, and it is backed by all His sure promises and by His oath. God Himself has sworn to do this, to give us this faith and to support it. He reminds us in Hebrews 10:23 that He is faithful and promised. We can trust in the Lord. Yes. And perhaps some of us have proven God's gracious promises in many a time of trial, and we know that He will not fail us or others. Some of you may have had overruling providences of the Lord on your behalf in your journey to this convention. I would venture to say that practically everybody here has, in one way or another. He is faithful and promised. And what a comfort you can be to others in sharing your experiences and joys of faith to strengthen them and to encourage them that the Lord is with us and that He that is for us is greater than all that could be against us. And think of the faith of having a guardian angel. Isn't that a real joy of faith? Doesn't that inspire confidence and trust in the Lord? It should. Let us have one another's faith and total spiritual welfare as a chief concern, and all that that embodies. We are told in 1 John 5:4, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith." And brethren, let us consider this convention as a wonderful opportunity to be faith builders. Let us build one another up in the most holy faith. Now a contemplation of some things further pertaining to our fellowship. Amongst these, we might ask ourselves, how did we greet our brethren when we arrived? Have you ever given this much thought? Was it our inclination to seek out only those who were favorably disposed to us, or to seek out the more prominent amongst our brethren? Was this the case? In the Epistle of James, chapter 2, verse 9, we have the plain truth that if ye have respect to persons, ye commit a sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. We might be doing this unknowingly, so let us examine ourselves. Did we greet others cheerfully and joyfully, or half-heartedly? Did you notice how the spirit in one buoys up the spirit in the other? is what we desire to do, to greet joyfully one another. Yes, let us inspire one another to be rejoicing Christians. Let our greeting be without partiality or respect of persons. Let it not be a mere perfunctory formality, but as in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, we read that James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to Paul and gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Yes, they perceived these things to be in them, and they greeted them and extended the right hand of fellowship to them. Then we might ask, what is the nature of our fellowship? In the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 3, we read, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yes, on the basis of the things that they heard and declared, as things that they've seen. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, we have to consider our fellowship one with another as that with Christ. It takes on greater significance when we do this, when we look at one another as members of that same body of Christ. And this fellowship we see is based upon the truth. This is the basis. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that the Lord is accomplishing His purposes with His word of truth. Yes, it doesn't return to Him void, but it accomplishes all that He had purposed. In the seventh verse, John continues, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, have we ever realized the fullness of this fellowship one with another? Sometimes, when we're speaking of ourselves, we get to thinking that convention as a normal or routine thing. Coming to the convention and hearing the discourse going out. But have we ever thought of the depth of fellowship that we could have one with another and with our Lord and Master? Sometimes we don't look at one another often enough as new creatures. But we look at one another according to our person. Oh, what a joy there is to realize that we are dealing with members of the body of Christ, one another. Yes, those who have this opportunity for fellowship and who do not appreciate it manifest a very unsatisfactory condition. Are there any that you seek to avoid? Oh, you say, well, this shouldn't be a question amongst the Lord's people. Ah, dear friends, not so. We have a fight. We've got to fight this old man. We should take delight to be with those in the same way, marching toward the same goal. Have we become weary in well-doing by virtue of finding something attractive in another direction to take us away from the fellowship of the Lord, the truth, and the brethren? Dear brethren, our true fellowship in the Lord should be manifest by our love for the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. A delight in everything that is right, true, and noble. A desire to promote fellowship to the extent of our opportunities. Do we take advantage of every opportunity that the Lord presents? And if there are 80 or 90 of us here, maybe we're missing 80 or 90 opportunities if we don't take advantage of this which the Lord has provided in this convention. A further manifestation of our fellowship with the Lord would be our increased appreciation of His Word, a deeper insight into its precious teachings, and an increasing pleasure in sharing it with others. Oh, not that they might think something of us. Oh, we don't have this for that benefit. No, not to puff us up, but for the Lord's glory. Let us, each of us now, ask ourselves a question. What have we planned to bring to the convention of the Lord's people here? Have you ever thought, when you plan to attend the convention, what can I bring to enhance the Lord's purposes in and through His people? We might ask also, what are we seeking? What do you expect to get out of this gathering of the Lord's people? This poses an interesting question for all of us, particularly for those who may not be serving from the platform or in other convention services. And we are told in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, that we are to remember the words of Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Oh, we're not talking about dollars and cents here, although that may enter into the equation. Oh no, we're talking about the spiritual blessings that we may be able to contribute. In the fourth part of this text, the Apostle Paul gives us an expression which is worthy of our consideration, and it is this: "I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak." W-E-A-K. Do we seek out those who may not be as privileged as we are to benefit them in whatever way we can? You know, in the world, the disposition is to give support to those who are strong. Support your leaders. Well, you know, this is self-pleasing. But the method of the new creature is to be just the opposite. Yes. We are to look out for the welfare, interests, and comforts of others, particularly the weaker ones. in applying the apostle's words, we should exhibit carefulness for the weaker members of the household. Each of the Lord's children should take pleasure in helping as far as possible in bringing each other to the stature of manhood in Christ. Just like nurturing the little child and bringing him up to manhood. Each of us should have the interest of the other in this regard, that we might bring one another up into the full stature of manhood in Christ Jesus. In the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 18, Paul tells us that he was happy for the presence of some. Who were these? We don't often hear these names mentioned in the scriptures. Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus. How often have we heard of these? Not very often. These weren't the extremely prominent ones, but what did they do? Oh, they had refreshed his spirit and that of his brethren. These little ones had refreshed Paul. Yes, they had involved themselves to the ministry of the saints, both in temporal and spiritual needs. Then, too, we can bring to this convention our presence as new creatures in Christ Jesus, hopefully leaving our old man behind. And we can demonstrate that we have taken on our new life to the extent that it shows. We want it to be evident. Sometimes when we get a new suit or a new dress, why, we like others to see and appreciate it. It shows on us. Let us exhibit the fact that we have been with Jesus and learned of Him, that others can recognize this in us. Yes, we want to be known as followers of Christ. We trust that this convention will afford each and every one the opportunity of exhibiting the Christ-like qualities which will commend them to the Lord and the fellow members of the body of Christ. We should be attracted in proportion as one exhibits these Christ-like qualities to one another. Each and every one of us can and should show forth Christian radiance. Let's radiate Christ-likeness. Have you ever heard it said by some outside of our group, particularly those who make provision for us, like this hall here, this meeting place? Have you ever heard anyone say, well, gee, this group of people is different. They're not like others. Different in a good sense, in their appreciation of their observation of our fellowship together with one another and of our behavior, of our conduct, as the scriptures would put it. And we should see this. It should show No, this is one of the privileges we have. Manifesting Christ-likeness. Have you ever thought of that as a privilege? Or just as a goal to achieve? Oh, it's a privilege too. Great privilege. Manifest Christ-likeness. Surely each of us can bring to the extent that it is developed in us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Galatians 5:22. Does your account ledger show that you have more of this today than you had yesterday to give to somebody, to share with them? Well, the question is pointed this way too. It's not all each and every one of us. Have we acquired more of this fruit of the Spirit so that we can share it with others? We can bring this to the convention. Those are admirable qualities, even to the worldly. How much more should it be amongst ourselves? Have you brought any of these here today? The apostle in his letter to the Hebrews gives us a spirit which we can all exercise, not only when we gather together in convention, but even in smaller groups of the Lord's people. In chapter 10, verse 21 through 24, he says, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Let us, dear brethren, have these sentiments embodied in our presence here during the next few days, and you will see how profitable a convention can be. Let us provoke one another unto love and good works. Convention can be very, very profitable to us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's the purpose of it. Are you living up to your privileges that are afforded in this convention? We can all, according to the admonition of Ephesians 5:19-21, and I think we've already mentioned this, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the reverence of the Lord. Now all of us, I'm sure, will receive more than we bring. The Lord is that way. He always gives us more than we give out. Have you experienced this? I have. The Lord is gracious to us. He's generous. But we have to be rightly exercised by the experience of this convention. even if it would be an occasion for a respite from the things of the world. Isn't this one of the benefits that we get? Why, I haven't even thought about things back in Phoenix since I've been here. It's a good thing. Like forgetting those things. Not even the heat. And you know, the things of this world are a continuous battle to the new creature in Christ. Don't consider it a blessing being here and separate from all of that. We don't have the battle, now we have the joy and the peace and the tranquility which comes from the fellowship which is in the Lord. Sometimes we never think of that as a benefit, but it's a great benefit. There may have been an experience out there waiting for us to challenge our faith in the Lord, which might have caused us a little concern. It's a benefit not to be out there, but to be in amongst the Lord's people and the experiences we will have therein. Sometimes the things that we may say or do may be a great benefit to others. We don't often think enough of the fact that our words have a powerful influence for benefit to others. Have you ever heard it said that, "I think you are just talking to me on this or that. Just what I needed." So we should be careful of our words. Maybe just what the Lord is ordering for the other to whom you are conversing with. We have to keep uppermost in our minds always the highest spiritual welfare of others. It's extremely important that we be about our Father's business. Oh, yes. Remember how Jesus was about his Father's business? Others were concerned about him, but he wished he not that I be about my Father's business. We want to have the same attitude. And you know, God is working in and through us to the accomplishment of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. God is working in and through us. It's not you, it's not me. What do we have that we haven't received? Our very existence. It is God. And you know, we are told that it is God's battle. God's going to be victorious in all of this. We want to be co-workers with him. We don't want to be the sprags in the wheel. We want to be the lubricant which makes the wheels turn smoother without friction. I'm sure each and every one of us would like to be an Ebenezer. Don't you want to be a stone of help? Ah, yes. We want to be a stone of help to our brethren. You know, sometimes we have need of some admonitions and corrections. I'm speaking for myself. Each one has to recognize whether he does or not. But, you know, from the convention sometimes in our association we can extract the good admonitions. Maybe we didn't realize something and it's brought to our attention. And we can correct it if it is not in accordance with the will of the Lord. Let us find each other continuing steadfast in the faith which we have been assured of, and recognize from whence we had received it. Did you find this out for yourself? Boy, I didn't. We have received it of the Lord through His faithful and wise servant, Brother Russell. We have to recognize this fact. Let us, dear brethren, make the occasion of this convention a means to the end, that our Father in heaven will be glorified in our every thought and word and deed, and that it be a stepping stone to our seeing Him face to face. We would like to close at this point and suggest our prayer for each and every one. As found in, as soon as I find it here, Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For each and every one of you, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Gorgas, for these considerations of our convention. We appreciate them. Now we do two verses of one, the last two verses of 140 for Brother Stan Gorgas, and then we'll have Brother Gorgas dismiss us with a prayer and also a blessing on the meal. And I remind you that next door on your left is the dining room. We'll go right around in the next door, and we'll do that immediately after we close here. And we'll have till 2 o'clock to assemble back again. And Brother John Forsyth has outlines of both his discourse back on the table. If you'd like a copy of it, help yourself. Brother John Forsyth's discourse, which follows after lunch, and another one tomorrow, I believe, both of them.
Our loving Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy holy name. Dear Father, in the way which Thou hast appointed in Him through the name and the merit of Thy beloved Son, our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, we approach Thy throne of heavenly grace. In humble reverence, dear Father, we thank Thee for the love which Thou hast shown towards us through our brethren in the preparation of the blessings of this convention. And we pray, dear Father, that its services and fellowship may be a means of our attending to Christ-likeness of our Lord and Master. To that end, we ask Thy blessing upon the further services and fellowship of the convention. At this time, dear Father, we ask Thy blessing upon the temporal provisions that we are about to partake of, that they may be a nourishment to our bodies to give us strength for the doing of Thy will. And bless our fellowship together, that it may be to Thy glory and to our upbuilding as new creatures in Christ Jesus. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.